join Doc Jones as he kicks off primetime
with Talk Radio.
Weekdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Dr. C. Robert Jones is a retired Marine officer with a Ph.D. in history. And he keeps up with the day-to-day events and analyzes and explains with historical facts and informed opinion. Gojo Media is dynamic and fresh. So please catch The Situation Report every weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Hey, welcome. That's the only way I can think of to open the show here. This is David Graham filling in for Doc Jones on The Situation Report. I'd like to welcome everybody for coming in and catching my Twitter blitz right before the show started. Bringing it right back down to the wire. And it was close. Now, on my show, which comes up in 1 hour, so I want you all to join me over there. I'm going to have a really cool guest. Now, see, I'd promote Doc's future shows, except I don't know what he's got coming up. He just asked me yesterday if I could fill in for him tonight. Of course, my show, Stay Mad Radio, you don't want to miss that one, because tonight I have a wonderful guest. Probably popping in about 9:30. His name is Charles Battis. He is a retired CIA agent, and he spent some time prepping for the Iraq War in Iraq probably almost a year before the invasion. He's got a few books out. Some of them are nonfiction, and some of them are novels. The last book that he had, I had him on my show before, and he had a book called Codename Aphrodite, and it basically fictionalized his exploits and his accounts while he was a CIA agent. Names are changed to protect the innocent type of thing. You can tell more truth with fiction in this case than he was allowed to tell. As a nonfiction book. So it's a very interesting concept. He messaged me on Twitter, and he's got a new book. So I'm kind of excited. Barbarossa or something like that. I have to ask him if it has to do with Pirates of the Caribbean. So anyways. Hey, we got Q, we got Reactionaries, Truth Before Lies. Welcome. And let's see. Doc said he was gonna check in and listen to the show. So I don't know unless there's another C. Robert Jones, because that's me in the chat room, Dr. C. Robert Jones or C. Robert Jones PhD. That's me in the chat room right now. Maybe he's the guest. Maybe he's tuning in, not logged in. You know, Doc, you can chat as co-host if you want. If that's you. So yeah. Anyways, that's what I got coming up later on my show. Plus, got some. What I'm going to do today on this show, I've got some rants about healthcare that I'm going to go to. And once I started, sorting out my thoughts on that, that might take the whole show. But I do have some other things lined up if I get to it. An article in the UK Telegraph by Daniel Hannan about the Occupy people. Oh, I got another thing about... Let me just read the headline to you. I'll make sure I try and get to this one. Pregnant gang rape victim to be lashed 100 times after she delivers the baby. So I will give 100 points to whoever tells me what country this is in. All right. I don't know what you can do with the points, but. So listen, on my show, it is customary to do the Pledge of Allegiance. So let's do that right now.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What do those words mean to you? To me, they say, thank you, America, for your strength, your courage, and for our freedom, which has been a beacon to the world for 200 years.
of the United States of America,
whose bright stars are 50 states, each bearing its own stamp of individuality. People, 200 million strong. People who have come to her from all corners of the earth.
And to the Republic for which it stands.
A land of laws, an ingenious system of checks and balances that allows no man to become a tyrant and lets no group prevail if their power is not tempered with a real concern for the governed. A land where the right of dissent and free speech is jealously guarded, where the ballot box is the sword and the people its wielder.
One nation under God.
A land where freedom of worship is a cornerstone of her being. A land graced with temples and churches, synagogues and altars that rise in profusion to embrace all the religions of the world.
Indivisible.
A land forged by the hot steel and raw courage, conformed forever by the awful crucible of civil war.
With liberty.
Where man, in pursuit of an honest life, will not be denied his chance. Where her citizens move freely within her vast borders without hindrance or fear. A land brimming with opportunity, where freedom of choice is the guideline for all.
And justice.
The courts of our land are open to all. Its wheels of justice grind for all causes, all people. They look to every avenue for justice, every concern of the law, and they temper their reasoning with mercy for all.
Isn't that cool? That's cool. I like to let that one hang just a little bit, you know? That's all I want. That's all I want. All right, we'll be right back.
24/7 Internet Talk Radio. Socialism is not an option.
Let's get together this weekend. Hello, I'm Tesla, host and producer of Socialism is Not an Option, featuring three great live talk radio shows. On Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern is the Roundtable Roundup Edition. Radio hosts and their listeners are invited to participate in this sometimes lighthearted look at the week's past events. On Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern is the American Exceptionalism Edition, dealing with the U.S. Constitution, a show for every American patriot who wants to learn more about this great nation. And on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, wrap up the weekend with our ever-popular Hot Topic Edition. The controversial issues of our times are tackled with insightful analysis and provocative disclosures as we battle the corrupting influences of socialism in our country. Spend your weekends with Socialism is Not an Option.
I just want to slap a hippie or two. Maybe make him get jobs.
Tell you what, I'd rather be wrong moving forward than right standing still. At least there's a purpose for this. I talk about people can be any way they want to be, just cop to it. Would you pick up the media with me today?
Tony Baroudi live Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern.
We've made too many compromises already, too many retreats. They invade our space, and we fall back. They assimilate entire worlds, and we fall back. Not again. The line must be drawn here. This far, no farther.
Hello, welcome back to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Of course, this is not Doc Jones. This is David Graham filling in for my very, very good friend, Doc Jones. And if he's out there, I want to let him know that I appreciate this opportunity to fill in for him. And just thank you very, very much. So let's get on with it. Welcome everybody in the room. Let's get on with it. Does anybody else have a dog? I have this wonderful yellow lab puppy that we've had for a few months now. Now, I say puppy, but she's pretty much a full-size dog. And I just, you know, sometimes she gives me this look, you know, when you're going about your day and she follows you around watching what you're doing. And she gives you this look like, what are you doing that for? Why do you have to do that? What are you putting on your feet? What do you got, shoes? Look at me. I got no shoes. No hoo-hoo. Nothing. See? What do you need them for? What do you have putting clothes on for? Look, we got fur. Cassie's Fledge has three dogs. Well, if you haven't ever heard this, this is a cute little thing. It's called Pet Diaries. And I will give you some excerpts from a dog's diary. It's cute. All right. It starts at day number 180. 8 a.m. Oh boy, dog food. My favorite. 9:30 a.m. Oh boy, a car ride. My favorite. 9:40 a.m. Oh boy, a walk. My favorite. Oh boy, a 10:30. Oh boy, a car ride. My favorite. 11:30. Oh boy, dog food. My favorite. Noontime. Oh boy, the kids. My favorite. 1 p.m. Oh boy, the yard. My favorite. 4 p.m. Oh boy, the kids. My favorite. 5 p.m. Oh boy, dog food. My favorite. 5:30 p.m. Oh boy, Mom, my favorite. Let me read you some excerpts from a cat diary. Excerpts from a cat's diary. Day 752. My captors continue to taunt me with bizarre little dangling objects. They dine lavishly on fresh meat while I am forced to eat hash or other dry nuggets. The only thing that keeps me going is the hope of escape and the mild satisfaction I get from ruining the occasional piece of furniture. Tomorrow, I may eat another houseplant. Day 761. Folks, we're listening to excerpts from a cat's diary after listening to excerpts from a dog's diary. Day 761. Today, my attempt to kill my captors by weaving around their feet while they were walking almost succeeded. I must try this at the top of the stairs. In an attempt to disgust and repulse these vile oppressors, once again, I induced myself to vomit on their favorite chair. I must try this on their bed. Day 765. Decapitated a mouse and brought them the headless body in an attempt to make them aware of what I am capable of and to try to strike fear into their hearts. They only cooed and condescended about what a good little hunter I was. Not working according to plan. Day 768. I am finally aware of how sadistic they are. For no good reason, I was chosen for the water torture. This time, however, it included a burning foamy chemical called shampoo. What sick minds could invent such a liquid? My only consolation is the piece of thumb still stuck between my teeth. Day 771. There was some sort of gathering of their accomplices. I was placed in solitary throughout the event. However, I could hear the noise and smell the foul odor of the glass tubes they call beer. More importantly, I overheard that my confinement was due to my power of allergies. I must learn what this is and how to use it to my advantage. Day 774. Last entry. I am convinced the other captives are flunkies and maybe snitches. The dog is routinely released and seems more than happy to return. He is obviously retarded. The bird, on the other hand, has got to be an informant. He speaks with him regularly. Whoops, I skipped all the way past it. Bear with me. I am certain he reports my every move. Due to his current place in the elevated cell, his safety is assured. But I can wait. It is only a matter of time. All right, so that was my little opening joke. Because, you know, when my dog looks at me, he says, "What do you need to eat with that spoon for? Look, you just put your face in the dish and eat it. What do you got to do all that extra stuff for? You guys do way too much stuff. You guys, I mean, I can't keep up with all the stuff that you guys continuously do, even though I demonstrate every time for you that you don't need shoes, you don't need clothes, you know? You don't need a spoon, you don't." I just get the feeling that's going through her mind sometimes. All right. So how is Obamacare treating you? How is Obamacare treating you? Supposed to lower prices, right? It didn't. Business have outrageous costs, even now. Well before the 2014 start date. Okay? Now, let's put aside a couple things right away. Let's put aside the fact that they're using 3 years of taxes to pay for 1 year of health care. What are they going to do for the second year? They don't have the 3 years ahead of that. Every 3 years, everybody can turn up and get health care. Every 3 years. Because they need 3 years to save up for it. And, okay, let's put the other thing aside. Let's put aside the Politburo, who decides who to pay for, depending on what each person contributes. See, the costs that the businesses, the businesses are not growing because there's no real incentive to grow, you know, and they know that, all this this healthcare is going to cost them money, and the more they grow, the more it's going to cost. Whether or not a business can afford it or not, it's a matter of principle. It's a matter of private property. It's a matter of liberty. And let me get into a little bit later about, you know, what other liberties, you know, will be sacrificed and what this whole society will devolve into. Let me get into that a little bit later. But the businesses are not growing. So to fix that problem, Obama comes up with the jobs bill, right? By the way, most Democrats voted down. They voted against it. What's the one? You hire a vet for a few crumbs? First of all, how big is the bill? I didn't do this math yet, but it's $447 billion, billion, and it has set aside for it $30 billion for hiring returning vets as an incentive for businesses to just hire people. So what's the amount of the incentive? It's between $5,600 and $9,600, depending on, I don't know what it depends on. That's what I just got. And that's for, that's only for a year. So what are you going to do after that? Well, they'll worry about that later. They'll create more class warfare and more division and more hating the rich and squeezing the rich to pay the next year for those people to keep their jobs. And then they'll have a bill for people to keep their jobs, and it will squeeze the rich even more. I do air quotes when I say rich, by the way, just so you know. Let's take a quick look at this the jobs bill, because that's what I got up next on the thing, because it kind of folds into why businesses aren't growing. And you know, basically what this is, a friend of mine used to work with a guy in a mechanic shop. We were heavy equipment mechanics, and you know, he had all these little Southern sayings. He was from Florida, okay, all right. Somebody sent me a message. Sorry, folks. You know, yeah, there's only one person here. No producers to send me messages. So whatever pops up, I got to read. He had all these little sayings. He was from the South, and you know, one time I was creating another problem to solve the original problem, and he called it. He goes, no. He says, look what you're doing. He says, now you're making a paddle to beat your own ass. Well, that's what this jobs bill is, basically. I mean, you got the problem of Obamacare on businesses. Well, to solve that problem, we'll give you the jobs bill. All right. Now, I want you to listen to how this is worded, because I went to whitehouse.gov and got this little synopsis of this jobs bill. Number one, listen close. Cutting the payroll tax cut in half for 98% of businesses. Now, I copied and pasted that. Is that a typo? Cutting the payroll tax cut in half for 98% of businesses. Cutting the payroll tax cut. In other words, whatever tax cut 98% of businesses have, that tax cut will be cut in half, which means they'll pay twice as much. To me. However, let me point out the contradiction in the next statement. The president's plan will cut in half the taxes paid by businesses on their first $5 million in payroll, targeting the benefit to the 98% of firms that have payroll below this threshold. Those two things in the same segment, they don't square with each other. Because if you cut a payroll tax cut in half, that means you double what they're paying. But let me get down to the Returning Heroes Hiring Tax Credit for Veterans. This provides tax credits from $5,600 to $9,600 to encourage the hiring of unemployed veterans. Okay, let's take that as a separate thing. It does not say that it's only for 1 year. And for what purpose will a business hire an unemployed veteran? Not that there's anything wrong with an unemployed veteran or that they're unemployable or anything like that. In fact, that's not the point at all. Okay? There might not be unemployed veterans if we didn't have the big dark cloud of Obamacare looming over businesses. There's no incentive for a business to hire somebody. This $5,600, what are you going to do with that? What is it you're going to do with that? That's a tax credit. That means that's that much that you don't have to pay in taxes. Like it's their money to begin with. Thanks a lot. Thank you. You know, I mean, oh, wow. Could you spare it? That's not the reason. People don't hire employees to get a $5,600 or $9,600 tax credit. That is not the reason to hire somebody. The reason to hire somebody is because you can't handle the business that you got. You need to hire somebody. Right? That's not going to put customers in the door. That's not going to put people spending more money, right? That's just, there's no reason to use this. There's no reason to use this tax credit. Sure, it's a tax credit, and it will be used to some degree by a few businesses that have, coincidentally, the occasion to hire somebody, the reason to hire somebody, the necessity to hire somebody. And by the way, the reasons are going to reduce to hire somebody because the restrictions and Obamacare, all the regulations that come with what they have as existing company and all the employees thereof. You know, it's just going to be more paperwork, more things to keep track of, as well as more money that they're going to have to pay. It's just going to cost. So why is somebody going to hire a new person? Oh, wow, you get a $9,600 tax credit. Big freaking deal. So now, all right, let me move on to the next thing in this putting workers back on the job while rebuilding and modernizing America. That's all this category, the returning heroes, blah, blah, blah. Here's the next one. Preventing up to 280,000 teacher layoffs while keeping cops and firefighters on the job. That is a talking point if I ever heard one. Oh, my. That's the same thing they use every single time. That is the same thing that they use every time. Why do they use it? Because it's an emotional contact. They hate the cops. See what OWS is doing to cops down there? Oh, well, we need to save the cops' jobs. No. I mean, they're working both sides of the coin, the lefties. They're working both sides of the coin. On the one side, they got Occupy Wall Street, which hates the cops, right? Spits in their face, flips their caps off their heads just to get arrested. And then they can say, look at this, they arrested me. Mommy. And that's how they make their bones. So, anyways, let me get back around to the teacher and the cops and firefighters. Now, why would, and this is just a thing, you need to raise taxes so you don't have to lay them off. What happened to the money that was paying them? Did their payroll go up that much? No. What you did was you sliced off a chunk of the money that's coming in as tax money and you're using it to fund something different, something new. You created an entitlement that you now need to pay for. But you're not going to say, if we don't raise taxes, we can't do that entitlement. No, they don't say that, do they? No, because that everyone's going to say, good. If they tried to use that one, everybody would say, good. Go ahead. Cut it out. We didn't have it 5 minutes before you had it. And look, we were fine. But now you have a new entitlement to fund. So you slice just a little bit off and then say, well, we're going to have to lay off teachers and cops. Okay, who's doing the laying off of teachers and cops then? Huh? Who is doing it? It's whatever administration is complaining about having to lay off teachers and cops. They are just not allocating funds towards teachers and cops because what they're not telling you is they've got another secret little stash of a thing to you know, that they have to, a pet project that they have to fund, because that's what they promised to the people who voted for them. So, modernizing at least 35,000 public schools across the country, supporting new science labs, internet-ready classrooms, and renovations at schools across the country in rural and urban areas. Really? Okay, so. So, $447 billion of a jobs bill. $30 billion is to hire the vets is set aside. Okay? This is what I know. I haven't figured out every little other amount. But think about it. $447 billion. $30 billion for the hiring of returning vets or unemployed veterans. What does that leave? $417 billion for... New Bridge to Work program. The plan builds on and improves innovative state programs where those displaced take temporary, voluntary work or pursuing on-the-job training. Three pathways back to work for Americans looking for jobs. The most innovative reform to the unemployment insurance program is 40 years. As part of an extension of unemployment insurance to prevent 5 million Americans looking for work from losing their benefits. Well, there you go, folks. That's what the rest of the money is going for, to extend unemployment benefits. If you continue to pay people not to work, guess what? They will continue to not work. Get your head out of your behind and say it like it is. Why do they do it that way? Because it's an emotional connection. That's why they say it like it is. Collectivism is always going to devolve into citizen reporting on citizen. Why did I get on this? Why? It was because something happened today that triggered a thought in my head. Can you imagine that? That's amazing on its own. All right. Get to the thought. Went to lunch with my wife today, and we went to the mall. We were doing some shopping, doing some errands and stuff. Ended up in the mall. Said, "Okay, I'm hungry," so we go to the Burger King line. Now, behind the counter, there was a woman that we could easily put in the obese category. Okay, now, me, I don't care. You know, I don't, still a person, she said, you know, I don't care. It's her business, you know. But I got to thinking, what flashed into my head was the Occupy Wall Street crowd. And you'll see where I'm going here in just a second, because they're out there with their signs and they want government to clamp down on how much, you know, corporations, oh, God, the corporations. They want to clamp down on how much they make, right? They want to regulate who gets rich and who doesn't. They want to regulate, they want to take money from the people who earned it and give it to people who did not. I mean, in a nutshell, that's basically what it is. So, in other words, they're trying to control. They're trying to issue a control over other individuals. And I can easily see, whoa, what's that got to do with the obese lady? Well, I can easily see the mentality of the Occupy people looking at her and beginning to stigmatize fat people again. For the past decade, fat people have fought against being stigmatized and being, you know, being shunned and everything. I mean, they've got overweight people, fat people, obese people. They're on sitcoms now. Mike and Molly. It's an awesome show. It's funny. You know, they got lingerie. You know, for plus, they call them plus size. Yeah, all right, big deal. We know. And I can see the stigma coming back because of Obamacare. All right. See how I'm connecting this back up to Obamacare? Because if everybody is, you know, air quotes, chipping in, everybody has skin in the game, then you're going to take a look at somebody who might consume more healthcare products or healthcare time than yourself. And you're going to say, well, I don't want to pay for that person, you know, the extra care that person needs for being overweight. I don't want to pay for the extra care that person needs. He's a smoker. You know, I don't want to pay. I mean, can you see the mindset coming in? So Anyways, that's the thought that I had that kind of triggered this rant. I got more to talk about. I got a lot more, actually. Let me take a break, and we'll be right back.
Yes, we have Amir. He is a Muslim, and he is on the call. Do you want to take the call now, Christian Prince?
Sure, sure. Let him come to us, as long as we don't stop anything yet. So maybe it's now the best to take him.
Amir, you are on the air now with Christian Prince.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you,
yes.
Mr. Go ahead.
Listen to me, Christian Prince. It's Samir. I warned you. And I want to warn you again, remove all the videos from YouTube. Within 1 year, you will be killed if you don't do that, okay?
So you are threatening me, you want to kill me?
This is the last time. This is the last time. We know your name. We know where you live. We know everything about you. We know where you have. We know everything, okay?
Okay, well, just wait.
You have 2 months to remove all the videos, and you will be dead.
Okay, let me tell you. Abdul, the coward.
What?
First of all, I will never remove my videos. So why are you waiting for a month from now? Why don't you do it tomorrow?
Okay, listen to me, man. Listen to me. In April or May, you will be dead.
Why?
You will be dead. April or May.
I like to die tomorrow. Coward, son of Muta. Don't hang up. Potato. And we recorded you. And we got your phone number. Son of Muta. Did you hear, guys? The cowards? Remove your video. I promise you, I will make 100 videos by the time you are saying that you want to kill me. Cowards. Potatoes. The Muslims are saying that to me for years now, and I did not see one potato is even getting even close to me. Do you believe it? Where are they, the Mujahideen? Where is the coward, the potato? I want to see them. I want to make your butt the same as my screen door. Do you dare to get close to me? The sons of Osama bin Laden? Your father, Osama bin Laden, is a tuna. And we will feed you to the tuna. Do you dare? By the way, I like tuna salad.
You're listening, Danny.
I just want to slap a hippie or two. Maybe make him get jobs.
Iran, Cuba, Venezuela, these countries are tiny compared to the Soviet Union. You send a kid to the emergency room for a treatable illness like asthma. They end up taking up a hospital bed. It costs, if you gave them treatment early, and they got some treatment and a breathalyzer or an inhalator.
On this Memorial Day, as our nation honors its unbroken line of fallen heroes, and I see many of them in the audience here today. I've now been in 57 states. I don't know what the term is in Austrian, wheeling and dealing. Navy Corpsman Christian Bashar. Corpsman Bashar. Corpsman Bashar.
Malia's 13, Sasha's 10. They're 13 and 10.
No, they're not 13 and 10. They're 12 and 10.
Please join Doc Jones as he kicks off primetime with the Sit Rep. Weekdays from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern, Dr. C. Robert Jones is a retired Marine officer with a PhD in history. He keeps up with the day-to-day events and analyzes and explains with historical facts and informed opinion. Gojo Media is dynamic and fresh, so please catch the Situation Report every weeknight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, And welcome back. David Graham filling in for Doc Jones on the Sit Rep, a.k.a. the Situation Report. Wow, I want to thank everybody for coming in and checking out the show. If we got some regulars in here that come to Doc's show, thanks for tolerating me this time. And, stick with me. Don't forget, I got my show is immediately following here. And I'll have my buddy G Ski Rocks will come in and he'll throw up the link. No, he'll put the link up in the chat room and you can join me on the next show. I have a great guest coming up at probably about 9:30. Charles Battis, retired CIA agent. He's got a couple of books out now. He's an author, and he's got some interesting perspectives on our current state of affairs. And I've had him on my show before. He's a return guest, and he was on before I moved to 9 o'clock. So, anyways, if you can just kind of scoot on over to that other one once I get the link put up in there, and I'm sure somebody will be able to pop that link up in there for me if G Ski Rocks doesn't get it. But anyways, I've been talking about Obamacare, and basically how the society I think is going to devolve into more class warfare, more trying to control what people do. I mean, it's about a control, and the government. I was getting into this right before the break. The government isn't going to really have to do as much enforcing, because you're going to end up with citizen reporting on citizen, because you know they're going to look at like I said before the break. You know, you can have somebody with a Occupy Wall Street mentality looking at a fat person saying, "Hey, they're consuming more healthcare product, more healthcare, insurance, or more healthcare than I am, and they're paying the same amount." So they're gonna stigmatize, you know, they're gonna go to that. They're going to insult and try to degrade people that that use more healthcare products than they do, because everyone's paying the same. Some people are getting more. Well, gee, how do you think socialism works? You know, that's not even. The whole thing, the same thing's going to happen with smokers. The same thing's going to happen with people who don't get checkups. The same thing's going to happen, with race car drivers. The same thing's going to happen with, skydivers. You know what I mean? If everyone's paying for everyone else's health care, then the government, believe me, the government will have plenty of its own regulations, like no more skydiving, people. No more surfing. You can't surf anymore. There's too much of a risk, you know. So anything that has the remote possibility of risk, well, they'll just ban it. They'll just regulate it. You know, you can't do that. And then if you skydive and you end up, with a broken leg, well, too bad. You have to pay for it yourself. We're not paying for it. We told you not to do it. You know, I mean, that's what it's going to come down to. You know, we're not budgeted for that. We regulated against skydiving, for instance. But what they, what they want is the people against people as well, because the more they can keep the society on edge fighting with each other, the less that society is going to turn their gaze to the people who started the fight, to the instigators. Do you ever do that? Do you ever realize that you're getting pitted against somebody and instead you turn on the person who's doing the pitting? What are you talking about, right? It's what they want, because whether they realize it or not, maybe it's subliminal form, but it keeps them in power. Which brings me back to vote buying. Making promises in exchange for votes, and then you figure out a way to pay for it later. Which is why they need the class warfare, because when people who are promised an entitlement are then refused it, it becomes something to demonize the Republicans for. I mean, as if they need something else to demonize them for. So they do all this stuff in the name of what? What is it they do this all this stuff in the name of? Fairness. It's not fair this person is rich. It's not fair that person has more stuff. It's not fair. We want the stuff, right? It's not fair. It's not fair. Let me ask you this. First off, before I get into that, is health care a right or is it a privilege? And if it's a right, is it an inalienable right? Well, let's define inalienable rights. Let's define, and agree with me or don't, an inalienable right is a right that you get to exercise without anybody else giving something up. How's that? Is that a good definition? No one else need give up anything for you to exercise your inalienable rights. Okay, so given that, let's make healthcare a right. Because we're the government and we think healthcare should be a right. Now, that opens another door in my weird little brain. A phrase from the book Rules for Radicals, where they refer to the world as it is, as opposed to the world as it should be. Okay, is that relative? That's a relative. According to who? According to whom? The world as it should be. What does that mean? Says you. Right? Who gives you the right to say what should and shouldn't be the way the world is and isn't? All right. So anyways, whenever, you know, you can go to Rules for Radicals and find that comparison there. The world as it is, as opposed to the world as it should be, which is their justification for wanting, you know, socialism, because they think that's how the world should be. Because they were told that that's how it should be. Because the people who told them were told that that's how it should be. Because the people who told them were told by the people who told them were told by the people who told them that that's how it should be. Trace it all the way back. And it's an opinion. Whenever you hear the word should or ought, those are opinions. You know? It's not a fact. So, let me get back to healthcare. Is it a right or a privilege? Man, I lined up too much stuff to get to. I'm still on this? All right. So if healthcare is a right, how much of the doctor's time are you entitled to? Okay? Now, doctor sets a broken arm, he has a price. Except the state will only pay him half of what his price is. So he did half of that job for free, because you're entitled to that. What is he entitled to? Well, he's entitled for some doctor to give up half of his job to the state and set his arm when he breaks it. But that doesn't pay his student loans, because that's what Doc was on the other day when he was talking about what's fair, what's not fair, and. Because they start the picture at look at that. There is a rich person. We think they got there by greed, and we think that they should spread the wealth. We think they should give it up, and they shouldn't be rich. That is where the story starts for the people who say that. They don't rewind 5 years and see the person working, you know, 60 hours, 70 hours to get where they are. They don't rewind 5 years before that to see the person working their way through college, trying to get really, really good grades instead of going out and partying every night, making better choices. They don't rewind 4 years before that when the person was, maybe the geek in high school, and instead of trying to fit in and be a popular kid, they said, all right, I'll just focus on my studies. Because that seems to be working out for me. The social thing maybe doesn't work for me right now. I'm going to work on my studies. So what's not fair about that person making some really good choices for themselves, working really, really hard, investing their own time and their own money, and when they get out of college, maybe starting a business, you know, going out on the hook, putting themselves out there, getting out into the world and making it happen. What's unfair that now that person is rewarded for all their, number one, their choices, and number two, their hard work, and number three, return on their investments? How long does it take to become a doctor? 7 years? That's 7 years of excruciating college costs, college loans, and all that. How are they going to pay for that if they don't come out and make a lot of money? How are they going to pay for that if they don't come out and if they come out and they're flipping burgers because that's what everyone else is doing and that keeps them from earning too much, right? I mean, what should somebody do? Actually hold themselves back because deadbeats who made bad decisions can't keep up with them now? Is that what they should do? No. Healthcare is a privilege, okay? Now, let's extend out. Okay, I got about like 8 minutes. Yeah, 8 minutes left. Okay. When you have the government in total control of all things healthcare, which is basically what Obama's going to end up doing, you're going to have less of incentive for good people to choose to become doctors, because why should they? They're only going to get paid by the state half of what they would if they weren't working for the state. Well, they're going to ban private practices, right? Already doctors can't build hospitals or something like that. I heard something about that. But listen, the other part of it is you come out of college. You know, you got your doctor certificate. You want to hang out a shingle, right? In your hometown. Well, wait a minute. No. If you want to get any money from the state, which is the only place doctors can get money from, because the doctor controls everything about healthcare. I mean, I'm sorry, the government controls everything about healthcare. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to move because we already have four doctors in this county. You know, you're going to have to move to a whole different place. What do you mean? I want to live here. I like living here. Well, you can go ahead and live there, but you can't be a doctor because, well, you can be a doctor if you want, but we're not going to pay you. We're already paying four doctors in that county, and that's all we're allowed. Well, how much of that doctor's life do you really feel entitled to? Now, obviously, I'm not asking people who would actually listen to this show. This is a rhetorical question for you. But if I had some OWS folks in here, that would be a question. And have you ever seen a kid? Have you ever seen the videos of those people down on Wall Street where somebody goes down with a video camera and just starts asking them questions? It's like their head starts exploding. Their head, man. Let me see if I can. I might have one here. Chain's arm. No. There was one of them. Throw me a bone. Let me see if I can find that one real quick. Where the underground phone? Where did it go? Show topics. No. Yes, same place. Strong. Well, the kid had a sign out. Said, throw me a bone and pay my college tuition or something like that. And the guy went up and asked him, well, why should somebody pay for your college? Well, because I think all these corporations got there by greed and OWS, Shadows, no, Rock This Way, no. Obama heckled, weather underground, shadows in the night. Oh, man. I wish I could find it. Well, I don't know where else it would be, though.
Yikes.
All right, well, I'm coming down to the end of the show. Geez, I want to tell everybody thank you very much for coming into the show. Geez, I had a pretty full house here, and I appreciate it. Did anybody put my link up to my show yet? Let me see here. All right, I'll put it up. Where am I here? Here we go. Coming right up, folks. Sit tight. Boom, boom. And that's where I'm going to be in about 6 or 7 minutes. Hopefully, G-Ski's got the thing under control, and we can get the show open and going. So at this point, what I'd like to do is, say thank you very much for everybody who came into the show, trusting me, you know, with your time. I appreciate it. Right now, I am going to take you. I'm going to take you out with a song that I covered. And I do a sign off on my show where I say, I want to thank all of our nation's service personnel, from the military to the first responders. They are the ones fighting outwardly for our country by putting their lives on the line. We need to match their efforts by fighting for the stability of this country. We must stay informed about many, many things and stay on top of them. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty, and I would add to that responsibility. So let me quickly, if I can, go through the chat room. We got the Q, the Binary Prince, Tesla's in the chat room, Swing Easy, Republican Marine, Reactionaries, No Way 90, Marine Times, I am John Galt. I am John Galt.
I am John Galt.
I am John Galt. We have some guests in the room. Thank you very much. Filling out the room, we got Evil Clown, Casanova Frankenstein, Beach Bum 55, Angry Mom 80, and Alexander Solo. Thank you all so very much for joining me. And until next time, if I see you at the next show, follow that link. That will be cool. If not, I will see you when Doc asks me to host his show again. So until then, may every vestige of communism, socialism, and Marxism be eradicated from our schools, state and federal governments, and from our churches. Good night.